Doc Talk is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.
Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson, I'm glad you joined us. We're going to have my friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Rethorst, here with us today. We're going to talk about developing heifers. It's going to be a great show. Stay tuned, and we'll see you after these messages. Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson, and I'm here in Manhattan, Kansas with my friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Rethorst, who is, if you've been around bovine medicine or in beef cattle production in the United States, whether it's NCBA or ABP or AVC or a local meeting, Dr. Dave has been a part of that throughout his entire career. And he's a continual learner, a tremendous veterinarian, and we're going to talk about developing heifers.
Sounds good.
Well, thanks
good
for
to
being
be here.
Well, it's always good to have you, Dr. Dave. And let's start out by just kind of talking about, how do you select a heifer?
One of my main criteria is to select those heifers born in the first 21 to 30 days of the calving season. Okay. Their moms were the fertile ones, were the easy keeping ones, got pregnant right off the bat. So let's keep those heifers. Let's don't keep a heifer that was born 75 days in and then wonder why she doesn't get pregnant. So born early, it is my main criteria.
And the ones that are born early are going to have a 21 to 42 day head start on being ready to be bred.
Right. It's easier to get them to that breeding weight because they've got an extra
month
than that, even at 2 pounds a day. You know, that's 40 to 60 pounds advantage on getting them ready.
Yeah. What's next? If you've got them kind of paired up into that first trimester, we've got this group of heifers now. You know, let's say we've got 40 and we're going to keep 20.
Well, I think you want to keep more than you really think you want to keep, because
okay.
You want to expose them for a short period of time. So if you want 20 bred heifers, you know, let's keep 30 and let's expose them for not over 42 days.
Okay.
And really put the pressure on them. Let's find out what heifers want to work for you and what heifers don't want to work for you.
Because you're going to have a certain percentage of them get bred during that first conception or the time day I or whatever, and then a percentage that won't.
Right.
And so then there's another natural gate cut, right?
Right. Right. And you know, if you end up with, you know, more opens than you think you should, that's all right. Change their job assignment. Put them in the feed yard, and there's good money there too.
Yeah, and then you can get them eventually, you know, bred in the later term with natural service and sell bred heifers.
Right. Yep.
You'll be quite a hot commodity this year, I think.
Following the drought we've been through in the Great Plains the last couple of years, these heifers are going to be worth some money.
Yeah. And then, you know, like we've talked, we've had wildfires recently and things that are absorbing a lot of our cow country.
Right.
You know, and very, very unfortunate. But they're going to need replacements to come
right
into their operations. I assume then that looking at the cow and looking at the what they were mated with is also something then.
That's part of it. I mean, you want moderate. Or in my opinion, you want a nice moderate framed heifer. You don't want these great big things that are going to be hard keeping. You want something that's going to have some maternal traits to it and then not eat you out of house and home to get that calf raised.
That's right. They always told me buy your cow to match your environment and pick your bull to match your market.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well,
makes sense.
We got to the end of the first segment. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk about some of the health issues that you need to take care of in these developing heifers. You're watching Doc Talk, and we're glad you joined us.
DNA Dialogue is brought to you by Igenity Feeder, powered by Neogen.
Really, we feed cattle and feedlots because we're feeding them high energy diets and we're fattening them. And so we're obviously get other benefits from that, such as taste, tenderness, juiciness of the end product. But what it really comes down to is how much fat can we put on those? And we're not doing it to put on fat on the outside. It's really about the marbling inside the meat itself. But it's difficult to know marbling when the cattle are live. You don't know that until after they're marketed. So what are packers interested in? They're interested in obviously the weight and the amount of pounds that they can also produce in their line. They're interested in red meat yield, which obviously in our grid systems is a premium and discount based on yield grades. 1 and 2 is a premium. Yield grade 4 and 5 is generally a discount. And obviously, if you're not familiar, those yield grade 1 and 2 are more red meat yield. Yield grades 4 and 5 are obviously fatter relative to red meat yield. So there's a premium discount on yield grade. And then, of course, there's a premium discount on quality grade. Quality grades are usually discussed as a choice-select spread, but that's really low choice compared to select. And there's premiums as you go to upper two-thirds choice, CAB, which would be black-hided and upper two-thirds choice, and then an even larger premium for prime. So what are packers interested in? Weight, yield, and obviously the most marbled beef that they can market, because they get a premium for those end products as well.
Are you a cattle feeder looking to manage for a stronger and more profitable set of cattle? Look no further than Igenity Feeder. Igenity Feeder utilizes DNA to gain insight into your cattle's genomic potential. With the information to predict performance, quality, and economic endpoints for cattle feeders. Animals are scored and ranked in a simple format, driving more precise and accurate management decisions. Igenity Feeder gives you the power to predict days on feed, manage variability within lots, characterize carcass performance, and focus on metrics important to you and your operation. With the data provided, you will identify superior animals earlier and maintain high operational efficiency. Maximize your profit and optimize performance with Igenity Feeder.
Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson here with Dr. Dave Rethorst. He's a friend and colleague. He's a veterinarian. We work together at PAC. He also has his own veterinary practice. And some of you that watch the show have enlisted him. If you go to our website, the PAC website, you can see veterinarians within your area to work with. And Dr. Dave works with everything from stockers, cow-calf operations to feed yards. Just a tremendous resource here in Kansas and beyond as a veterinarian. But Dr. Dave, when we're talking about, you know, immunizing heifers, kind of what are some of the things that you're employing?
One of the things on replacement heifers to me, I want at least 3 modified live IBR BVDs in those heifers before they go into their synchronization program or their natural breeding, whatever it is. But I think it's critical that we get a modified live in them as a baby going to grass.
So at branding 3 months
time.
Age.
Yep.
Yep.
I like to get 1 or 2 modified lives in them associated with weaning. And then I put another one in them about 45 days before we start the sync protocol. And I'm real adamant about that 45 days, just so we don't get any interference with the vaccine on their cyclicity and inflammation in the oviduct and things like that.
And we'd seen some of that, and that's a little bit of a change from, you know, we used to always say 60 and 30 days prior to turnout or breeding, we're going to get 2 doses into them. And I've really seen practitioners and that say, hey, we're going to do it at 3 months, we're going to do it at 7 months when wean, and then when we come back 45 days, we're going to do it once,
right,
prior to the breeding season, rather than the double dose,
right.
And I assume that's to some of the things that have been associated with the modified live and just viral load and potential interference with breeding, huh?
Right. You know, particularly the IBR virus will cause an inflammation of the oviduct, inflammation of the ovary, and that's primarily in naive heifers, but I want to hedge my bet and I want the vaccines in there, but that's why I've kind of settled on that 45 days. If it does cause some inflammation, we've got time to get over it and they'll still get pregnant on time.
Any other vaccines that?
Well, I mean, of course you want Vibrio Lepto, just as our standard breeding vaccines. But I'm of the mindset anymore, I'm more worried about the viral antigens than I am the Vibrio Lepto.
Yep.
Still put them in there, accepted practice, but let's take care of the viruses.
And then we start to think about, you know, the dewormers and taking care of parasites. I assume that's important as well.
That's part of it too. And that varies more operation to operation. You know, we'll use a lice only product usually on those heifers when we give that last pre-breeding vaccination. You know, if they've been in confinement since weaning, sometimes we won't deworm them just
because they haven't been exposed to grass.
They've been exposed. They've been eaten out of a bunk. You know, if they've been on some cover crop or, you know, some of these other things where they've been grazing, yeah, we'll go ahead and, you know, and use a white wormer or something pretty mild on them and make sure we're clean going into breeding season.
Perfect. Now we got our vaccines, we got our parasite-free heifers. When we come back, we're going to talk about growing programs and nutrition. You're watching Doc Talk with Dr. Dave Rethorst, and we'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson here with Dr. Dave Rethorst, and we're in Manhattan, Kansas, where Dr. Dave and I have worked together for many years. We've been friends and colleagues well before that, and Dave has been just a tremendous leader in the veterinary profession and the beef industry, has a veterinary practice based out of Kansas, and does tremendous work for all segments of the beef industry. But as we start to grow these heifers, what's your philosophy on growing heifers from weaning to conception?
Well, number one, get a weight on them at weaning. Know where you want to be on a weight when you start AIing and plan your nutrition accordingly.
Okay.
You know, set a daily goal. You know, we want 1.5 pounds or we want 1.75 pounds or, you know, but have a goal. You don't want these heifers over-conditioned when you get ready to breed them. Fat heifer will cycle like crazy and not very many of them get pregnant. So you want a heifer that's a 5.5 to 6 body condition score when we start our synchronization program or when we turn the bulls in or whatever we're doing. But, you know, and then a lot of people are developing heifers to 55% of mature body weight now rather than the traditional 65 because heifers are a little leaner. They don't have to put so much money in the development program, and it's working very well for them. Again, that's where a lot of people have got into the exposing more heifers than we really want, expose them for a short period of time, and find out which ones want to work.
I've been noticing, too, more people buying heifers that are guaranteed AI bred to get them, to buy them and put them in that calving window of, hey, I'm going to be done with this within a week.
Right.
And that's pretty amazing, actually.
Right.
So it makes sense, too. Like you said, if you want to pick more, get them bred, have right. some AI bred heifers to market.
Yeah. And, you know, be done in 10 days, 2 weeks, you know, whatever.
So you said the fat heifers, and we also know that if they're too thin, they won't cycle.
Right.
But any other words of wisdom and things, vitamins, minerals?
You would get me started on vitamins.
Well, I wondered when we were going to get to that.
it's about optimum on nutrition. You know, Chris Reinhardt has always told us there's big rocks in nutrition and there's little rocks. The big rocks being the protein and the energy and the little rocks being the vitamins and trace mineral. and we need to pay attention to all of them. Keep it in check, know where our rations are at or where our nutrition is at.
Which are the vitamins and minerals most important for reproduction?
Well, after the last 2 years in the state of Kansas, I'm really big on looking at vitamin A. Our forages have been brown, and our supplements have been not where they should be for brown forages. And so I'm really looking hard at vitamin A, trace mineral-wise, copper, zinc, manganese for reproduction, a little bit selenium, but
again, phosphorus,
yes. We got to know where we're at.
It's awesome. So you got to measure it, test your feedstuffs,
right?
Test your supplements, work with a nutritionist. Don't get them too fat, don't get them too thin, get them just right.
Yep, optimum.
Optimum. It's great words of wisdom, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about getting those heifers bred. You're watching Doc Talk, and we're glad you joined us. Hey, folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson and Dr. Dave Rethorst. We are friends and colleagues and veterinarians, and we work together in the PAC organization. Dr. Dave is a tremendous veterinarian for cow-calf stocker and feedlot operations, a national leader in our profession, and we got him slowed down just enough to film him. Let's talk about, kind of some of your thoughts on getting those heifers bred. Okay, we've picked them, we've taken care of the health, we've grown them, they're that 5.5 body condition score now what?
Okay, operation. A lot of people using sync programs, using the cedar, cisterellin, prostaglandin protocols. Really nice programs. The advantage of those is you can breed everything to one bull and you can have all your heifers pregnant, or 60% of your heifers pregnant on day one. And, if you look at a weaning weight, and again, ever cycle earlier that they calve, that's another 40, 50 pounds of weaning weight. So very good programs. A lot of people using them. Some people don't want to mess with synchronization, and so we're selecting good Cavanese bulls and try to put out a little more bull power than we think we really need. So when those heifers come in heat, we won't have 60% of them on day one, but we can have 60% in the first 21 days.
I've seen too that some people are using bulls and doing kind of a semi synchronization using the Lutalice.
For those you can put the bulls in for 5 days. You can give Lutalice to everything
after the five days,
and it won't abort those that are pregnant in the first 5 days because you've got to have an active CL in order for Lutalice to work, and you aren't going to have a CL till about day seven. So you can put the bulls in for 5 days, Lutalice everybody. Those that haven't been in heat are going to have CLs on them. You knock those off and you can pick up the rest of those heifers in another 5 days. Really cool, really simple synchronization program.
Yep. So the synchronization and timed AI.
Right.
Turn natural. The bulls out, natural service, and then the combo package.
Of
wait 5 days, bring them in, give them all a shot of Lutalice, turn them back out, and kind of synchronize them with natural service.
Right.
Anything else is there anything I should be looking for, when you get into something like that should be abnormal or I know what normal is, but what are some things that as I'm going through this breeding season that I should be concerned with or looking at?
Well, obviously you want to keep an eye out if you've got bulls out and you're 3 weeks in and you're still seeing heifer cycling every day, do you have a problem?
Yep.
What's that problem? Do we have a bull problem or what's going on there?
No, I think that leads us to, folks, you're going to see Dr. Dave next week because we're going to shoot into back-to-back shows here, and we're going to talk about heifers first, and we're going to jump in and talk about bulls. So I think that's a great segue, don't you?
I think it is.
Well, let's wrap up today with Dr. Dave Rethorst. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. Remember, always work with your local veterinarian. You can find us at DocTalk at www.doctalktv.com. With Dr. Dave, I'm Dr. Dan, and we'll see you down the road.
At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.